Pour something flammable in your glass. It's JD GamerCast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. Nathan, we had a long weekend to drink. I'm tired as shit. My legs are cramping up from the drive and all the goddamn traffic on the way back from Calgary, so I'm drinking coffee with a lot of Baileys in it. I'm not going to say it's 50-50, but it's pretty close to that. That was the joke.
More like 60-40 Baileys.
I am
darkening my Baileys with coffee. What?
I made a point to be pouring it while the coffee was kind of coming out of the coffee machine until I realized that it was going to overflow because it wasn't finished making the cup of coffee, so I just had to like turn it off. So I'm like, I probably put a lot of Baileys in this, and it is delicious. What are you drinking, Nathan?
I went for the good old Tequila Sunrise because after spending a week up in the Northwest Territories where every day was like this beautiful 19 to 22 degrees, this 30 degree bullshit we're getting is terrible.
Interesting.
So delicious cold alcoholic cocktails. Let's do this.
Why not? All right. So you guys are listening to JD GamerCast. And we are going to be talking about models, and more models today. But let's get this show started. Let's talk a little bit about what we did this week in hobby. So this kind of feeds into the weekly listener poll for me.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan didn't do anything. He was camping.
Yes.
So basically what had happened is we had done our Age of Sigmar review. Four people on the show, which is always a bit of a mess. and some people drunker than others.
Yes.
And basically what happens is we put the show up, and I had to ban somebody from the Facebook group within 5 minutes of posting the show.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes.
Because, again, I was camping.
I know you were.
You were not
aware of this. This is the first time I was telling you about it. Basically what happened was I posted the show, and frequent whiner and complainer Brian Nury, who I've had to tell to shut the fuck up at least once, when he goes on these tirades about how if anybody says anything bad about Games Workshop, he basically calls them a bunch of fucking idiots and just turns it into a flame fest where people just end up arguing about why he's being such a dick.
Yeah.
So he got his one warning, and then he got his second warning, and I basically told him for a second time, hey, Brian, shut the fuck up. Like, I've posted this 30 seconds ago. You haven't even had a chance to listen to the episode. You're already talking. Like, shut up. And he went and posted something else. As soon as he posted something else, and I was clear, it was clear that it wasn't like, oh, my bad, sorry. I just delete, ban, done. So a couple posts later, the gentleman named Spiffy, who had told us after the Dark Angel episode that he sure was glad there were good analysts who knew a lot about the game. So basically just shit disturbers. So he makes this big, long, ridiculous post about how, and it opens up with, first off, I'm not like the typical gamer. These neckbeard, unwashed pieces of shit who don't, no, seriously, like this was his post. His post was, I'm not like you assholes. I'm better than all of you. You guys don't know shit about this game that you're talking about, and so on and so forth. And basically the boiled down point of his tirade was that you guys don't know anything about game design, so you can't talk. At which point, I deleted him and I banned him, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's two posts in a row, like right after the guy joined the group. And I'm sitting here going, you know, this is a fan page.
Right?
And I love discussion because there are people in the comments who are talking about how they like Age of Sigmar. Nobody's like, you're a fucking retard. It's just like, hey, okay, it's not for us. Fine. Some people do like it. We had people on the post who voted it for a 7, and they told us why they voted it for a 7. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when the first words out of your mouth are just, you guys are a bunch of chicken little bullshit whiners.
Wow. So, I think that also brings our lifetime bans on that page up to 2. Though.
Up to 2.
Like, that's the thing is, like, we typically let it be the Wild West, because even when that first one came out where it's just like, you know, you're
analysts.
These
fucking
analysts. Whatever,
we're joke
just like,
about
fuck
it,
those
whatever.
Guys. And, like, we'll joke about it. Like, it tends to police itself, because you're right, it is a fan page. And I do find that our page has some of the most varied discussion.
Very much so.
Because, like, there's a lot of other fan pages where it's just like, everyone here is truly a fan, so everything is just like, I really like this. Yeah, me too. Holy crap, guys. It's amazing. And you're just like, Yeah, but like we do have a lot of diverse.
Oh, and I have no problem.
We do not police that group at all.
I have no problem with people going like, "Hey guys, that Dark Angels review, not the best." And you and I were the first ones to be like, "It really wasn't."
Oh yeah, well, absolutely. We departed from our usual review format because we just looked at it. We had literally just talked about Marines 3 weeks ago because we just broke them up to talk about that Firestorm invasion stuff. And it's just like, you know, we were like, you know, I just don't feel like going through literally all the same stuff again. So we were being intentionally very, very broad and just kind of trying to hit the highlights of the changes. So I totally get that that particular one was not our best review because we decided that it wasn't going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
So basically what it came down to is like, yeah, that was my This Week in Hobby, along with playing some D&D, playing some other games, playing some Dice Masters. You know, in general, it was one of those things where, you know, I had to stop and take a step back and go, okay, should I ban this person or should I just let this keep going? Because every time it goes in that direction, it either turns into people like just for viciously defending us to the point where they're eviscerating people who are saying bad things,
mm-hmm.
or it just turns into a flame fest and it ruins the comments and people who want to put, like, first off, this isn't a forum. Go anywhere. Start your own blog. Talk about how terrible we are. Dude, it's the internet.
Yep.
It's yours. This isn't YouTube. This isn't a YouTube comment section, right? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, listen, guys, this is a fan page. This is here for discussion. This is here so that everyone can enjoy it and bitch about stuff and be jaded. But that doesn't mean that every time somebody says something, the first words out of your mouth is like, listen, I'm not like you fucking idiots. I'm better than all of you, you neckbeard, unwashed morons who can never... And this whole idea... that gamers who've been in this for a long time don't know any better than game designers is a bit of a half-truth, right? Yes, we're not professional game designers. However, when it comes to playing games for as many years as we have, like we go back through all the 40K editions we've played, we remember that shit, right? And at the very least, you could be considered playtesters to the point where we've been through the ringer enough to know this is a bad mechanic. This is a long dead mechanic. Why are we still doing you move your whole army and then I move my whole army when every other game out there at this point is alternating activations because that's the most fun, that's the most fair. You know
yes.
what I mean? Like, we can identify those things.
And that's exactly it. Is like we have a breadth of experience through our the years of playing games as well as playing lots and lots of different games. Like, yeah, we have played four editions of 40K, and truth be told, there really is not a drastic difference between 7th edition 40K and 3rd edition 40K because it's just been this gradual evolution. And that's why this is Dark Angels Codex number 4 that I have seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like we have seen all of these things. We've played enough different games that have different mechanics, especially now in this sort of renaissance of miniature wargaming that we're having. So many people are... Like, so many new game designers are cropping up, and so many new games are cropping up, and I find that every one of those games is trying to differentiate themselves from the big two of 40K War Machine,
mm-hmm.
that they are all trying to come up with that one quirk that is their key game mechanic, you know? Sure. Spartan, they have built an empire on exploding dice. Like, let's be honest, every one of their games will have an exploding
dice. No, a mechanic is, that's the mechanic they go off of.
And that's exactly
it. In their mind, that's what made games fun.
And like, that's the thing, is like, we've played enough games to be able to see a lot of these things. And again, I'm never trying to, like, if you think that we are going to give, first of all, any tactical advice, you're sorely mistaken.
Well,
like, you are in the wrong place.
There was a time when we gave tactical advice for Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000. But those days are long gone. Now we give tactical advice for Planetfall and Firestorm Armada because those are the games we play primarily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny because I don't like banning people. Like, let's get that very straight. And I don't do it lightly because in my mind, I love it seeing people get angry on the internet. I really enjoy it.
Listen,
like that analyst comment, I really fucking enjoyed that shit.
Which comment?
The first one when Spiffy was just like, oh, sure, it's a good thing we've got the... Like,
oh, yeah,
one
and you're
just
like, yeah, fuck those guys.
One where we promoted analysts, so on and so forth. But I mean, if they're just shit disturbers, just come on, man. You got better things to do on the internet. Seriously, let's be honest. You have better things to do on the internet.
Pornography everywhere.
You obviously have a lot to say. Start a podcast, my friend. It's not hard. There's a lot of them. so basically what it comes down to is I apologize to both of them. I apologize that this group was not what they were looking for, or that maybe I banned them for the wrong reasons. Whatever, however they feel, there it is. But at this point, find something else. That's it. So there you go. Other than that, let's move on to the weekly listener poll. So the weekly listener poll, we asked you guys the question, how would you rate Age of Sigmar on a scale of 1 to 10? And that was because we forgot at the end of the show.
Absolutely.
You're like, I don't remember that question. So basically, what I wanted to get was a really solid test of people's perceptions of the game. And here's generally what it is. I'm going to give you guys the numbers, but I want to kind of give you a quick overview. The majority, the vast majority, 65%, rated it a 4 or rated it a 3 or lower.
Yeah.
The rest was a couple of votes here and there rating it between 4 and 7.
75% rated
4 and 8. Three. Sorry, what?
75%.
You're right, 75%. 75%. Lang not maths. So basically 75% of our listeners and or people who have played it voted it either the absolute lowest they could have voted it out of anger and spite more than likely, or voted it a 2 or a 3 because they said, well, maybe there's a couple redeeming qualities in it, but generally it's a poorly done, poorly produced game, poorly released game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fair because that's generally what I've been getting from people. Now, the people who defend it usually are the ones who are the angry people defending it. Now, I've had people defend it and just be very positive about it, which I think is totally fair. But in general, my complaints still stand a week later. You know, after talking with as many people as I was talking with, it's just like, no, even the people who were trying to defend it were just like, yeah, it's not great. But it's not what everybody says it is. It's not a 1. It's not a 2. So 40% of you voted 1, 25% voted 2, and 10% voted 3. And then the rest of the votes were kind of spread out from 4 to 8. Nobody voted 9 or 10. There were some very, very long comments on here. Some big stuff from people really kind of making their own blog posts about what they like, what they didn't like, kind mm-hmm. of things that they thought were interesting about the game. So I'm not going to get a chance to read all of them, but I do want to get some of them in here. I voted a 2, personally. What did you vote, Nathan?
I personally gave it a 1 because while I found, and this was something that I kept trying to talk about last week, I found the concept of a very reductionist rules set very interesting. You know, 4 pages, all your core rules. The fact that 2 of those 4 pages, so 50% of the rules they released, were just junk.
Yep.
They're just absolute fucking worthless horseshit garbage. You know.
Mandatory mystical terrain.
Mandatory mystical terrain. Keep track of the last game you played, because if you totally lost it, by all means, have a free bonus.
The sudden
points,
death rule.
What the fuck are those? Unique characters are not unique, so take 10 Lord Croaks. Awesome. Like, all of these problems, 50% of their core rules were crap, and even then, if you were to catalog the total amount of special rules and command abilities that they added into every single set of those rules, you're back up to a 70-page rulebook. And that was my big problem.
Yeah.
Is like every single race was adding 4 or 5 pages of just special rules and spells and junk like that. So the reason I gave it a 1 is inherently the game isn't fun.
Well, yeah.
And there is absolutely no balance to it. There was, Terry, who is Little Ms. Positive, was just fucking irately pouting throughout the entirety of her game of Age of Sigmar because there truly was nothing redeeming.
I don't think that came through last episode, Nathan.
Right? Who knew? Mm. Who knew? You know, but like I said, so it's just like, for me, it was just such a monumental failure. And I feel like there were some nuggets of good ideas in there, but in typical Games Workshop fashion, through a lack of care, a lack of attention, and a lack of playtesting, what was interesting just gets completely outshone by all of its many, many problems. And
developing rules, it costs money.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not going to pay people. We have unpaid interns for rules development. No, but it's just, there are so many good, like, if Age of Sigmar had come out 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I can truly say that this game would have been a 6 or a 7 for me. Because 8 years ago, what did the landscape look like? It looked like War Machine Mark I, which was fucking abysmal, terrible game with even worse models.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 40K, and it was Lord of the Rings strategy battle games and Flames of War for, like, the historical buffs. That was fucking it. And so if we were to look at that landscape, this kind of...
Was there?
What?
Warhammer was there.
I'm saying if Age of Sigmar had been then.
Oh, pfft. Okay.
So clearly they've killed it, right?
Right.
So yeah. Just like, if this had happened 8 years ago, when there literally are no other options, this game becomes a 6 or 7 for me, and I'm holding out a lot of hope that it will develop into something better. It'll get through its initial growing pains, and it will get fun, it will get interesting, the community will develop a comp system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the game could be enjoyable for all. My issue and why it's a one for me in 2015 is why, oh, why would I pay Games Workshop prices on their models when there are 10 other games that have models that look just as cool, if not cooler, that are cheaper for me to get into and look just as fun.
Yeah.
That's the reason Age of Sigmar falls flat.
So let's get into the comments here. Rex said, why no negative 10? Well, Rex, because it was a scale of 1 to 10. fair enough. I mean, I did talk to a lot of people who genuinely just could not even talk about it without getting mad. It was one of those things where they were so upset with how it was done, how it was delivered, and basically the way that they had done the game that they did feel like it was a slap in the face for anybody who had been playing Warhammer up until that point.
Games Workshop hates you.
Well, generally, yeah. Rastia says, there's not enough space in the comments for me to catalog all the problems I have with Age of Sigmar rule set. I can't even bring myself to call it a game, although anything I could say would just be a rehash of everything said on the podcast. The only new perspective I can give is one of an avid gamer friend who had never played Warhammer previously that I coerced into playing Age of Sigmar. He enjoyed the experience, but his first comment was, what's preventing me from just using 20 Stegodons? He was put off by the fact that the only way to bring balance to the game was for the players to self-impose it on themselves. Additionally, he made a unique observation that in most cases, there are more gameplay rules within each war scroll than there are within the 4-page rulebook, which is what you had just said as well.
Yeah.
And again, this, I commented back on this as well to her, because I felt like, you know, getting it from a person who, like you had said, here's the target audience. The target audience is new gamers, new people to the game. Even people who have never played Warhammer before and pick this game up instantly go, well, what's stopping me from? Or why don't I just do this? You know, like, it's so glaringly evident how bad the game can get unless you're playing it with two people who are not in any remotely, in any way trying to be competitive. Like, yeah, you have to take that. If you're just playing fluff, I guess it's fine. If you just want to go play fluff stuff, like if you want to go recreate battles, okay, fine, go for it. Play that out. But that doesn't have a lot of replay value. Because,
yeah, I remember having those ideas and those kind of opinions of Lord of the Rings and Hobbit and all of that kind of bullshit there, where it's just like, it is a fun enough rules system. It does have some very glaring, very obvious exploitations that you can do. Like, I remember in War of the Ring, there was literally an unbeatable formation where it's just like, this formation inflicts an infinite number of wounds in any combat that it engages in its front arc.
Well, it can take no wounds, it constantly regenerates might points, and...
Oh, yeah, like I said, it was just like...
You will grind your opponent out.
Oh, yeah, no, but like I said, there's literally infinite. One with, like, three elf heroes where any combat in the front arc...
Yep, Aragorn, Radagast, three elf heroes.
An infinite number of wounds, mathematically. Like, there was no end, and you're just like... How is this fun? But the game itself, if you had two players who had like that gentleman's agreement of don't be a dick, let's do these things, the game
was very... You stop jerking your mic off while you talk.
What?
You stop jerking off your mic while you're talking.
I will ask my wife to stop fucking around with all the cords because she's trying to plug something in.
Damn it, woman. That's two shows in a row you've ruined. No, I'm just kidding. Todd says, I voted two, a heaping steaming pile of number twos. Since it was my show, afterthoughts. When I evened out after the points values, look on Bell of Lost Souls for Sigmar SDK, the game was fairish. Then it turned into a stand there and punch each other type game. I'm paraphrasing. Very few models were left, and it stopped being fun very quickly. What I did like and regret not making during the show, the stats. No more weapon skill versus weapon skill, my strength, their toughness, back and forth, all the stat and special abilities on the card in front of me. I wish I had printed them out at 50% of the size and cut them apart. I didn't want them as small as War Machine, but you get the point. So two big pluses, easy stats, nice cards, doesn't make up for, well, what was said in the show. It could have been a one, but I have faith that something else will come out and be worse. It's possible. It's possible. Yeah, you know.
40K 8th edition.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, one of the big things that people who were proponents of the game really kind of came back and said about it was, you know, here's what I like about it. They did something different. They looked at what was in the industry. Actually, I'll read a comment from Rock Yeti because he was somebody who voted a 7. Age of Sigmar's Ken Shamrock kind of convinced us he's George St. Pierre. Screw it. I'm going to give GW some props so all of you can flame me. GW knows that there are other games in town and that those games have been creeping up on them for a while. They know their current model is unsustainable even if they can't come out and publicly acknowledge it. GW sees how the industry is going and is trying to adapt so that they do what all the newcomers are doing. Free rules online, check. New visual style, check. But still close enough to try to tap into the Space Marine nostalgia. Unique angle, check. Look, Ma, no points. Plus, this with a new app that isn't actually bad and continuously update it? Check.
Well, now, I think that it's a bit premature to say continuously update it. Remember when they released those army building programs? Man, they continuously updated the shit out of those.
I still have those CDs.
I think I finally purged mine, but God, armies and enemies of the Imperium. Good stuff. Anyway, continuous comment.
Now, I will agree that the design aesthetic and implementation has been the same ham-fisted idiot child method we have come to know and loathe, but when all their promo shots look like the cover of a Judas Priest album, I'm kind of cool with it. Gave it a 7 because they still made that stupid dog eagle with the dildo strapped to its chest. A lot of the comments tend to kind of go in that direction. Again, we can't really go through and read all of them because there's quite a bit here. Dr. Duncan James came in here and he kind of talked about it a little bit and kind of his perspective on it and, you know, continued to talk about a lot of other stuff. We have just tons and tons of people. I did want to go to Amy, who is Todd's wife. She says, as Todd's wife, I've got to say that Strip Sigmar would have made our battle fun, especially since he would have been naked by the end of the first shooting phase. It would have made playing while bored stiff a better experience. My take on it is that it is a combat system, not a game. Basically, Sigmar was bring the biggest, baddest models you have while keeping your model count lower than your opponent. That's just not enough to make a game.
Well, and that was one of the things we talked about with the list that you chose to field against Terry. In a point system, you were probably 4-1 advantage, but because all you took was monsters and all she had was like this one massive unit of like 80 Savage Orcs, you were at a disadvantage, even though at no point was that game ever remotely capable of being a win for Terry. And she didn't even get the benefit of one of those silly sudden death victory objectives where had she just killed this one Stegodon, hooray, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, you know, there's just too much bullshit that people don't care about, that the company didn't care about in that rules system. But again, Strip Sigmar.
Well, basically, I do want to come back to one last thing before we stop with the weekly listener poll here. Basically, the big thing for me that I came around to more and more as we were getting to kind of through the week and on into the weekend, and I was having this conversation more and more with people, was that I do like the reduced rules. And specifically what I like about the reduced rules is getting rid of things you thought were important but actually are not important even remotely. Shooting into combat, shooting out of combat, shooting through combat, like all those types of things that for the longest time it's been pounded into our brains that these are no, you can't, this is a no-no, don't ever do, like, no, this isn't allowed. It doesn't really have that much of a bearing on the game. And in the end, if both sides can do it, it's kind of fine for the most part. So as kind of the way the game is set and the way that they've put things forward, there are times when I think to myself, like, oh, but what about this rule? This rule should really be like this. Or, oh, how about this? This should really be like this. I get to a point where I'm just like, but none of that actually means anything. So It's cool to be able to say, yeah, those things don't actually mean anything. And they're only there to kind of add complexity that isn't necessarily desired. But doing it to everything, it just reminds you why it was done in the first place, where people wanted something either slightly more realistic or something that would at least be a drawback to this type of unit versus that type of unit, right? In Age of Sigmar, it's like, well, you just want everything with a shooting weapon, then they get to attack twice every turn.
Yeah.
Because they attack in close combat, and then they get to shoot, and then they get, you know what I mean?
Because
if you're playing with something that only has a melee weapon, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. And basically, you're...
You mean bagging up your ankles with your hammer cape?
Of course. Denting the shit out of those. Oh, God, so bad. And basically, yeah, it was one of those things where, you know, I liked it, and I was willing to admit that, yeah, that's actually, I do like that a little bit more now that I think, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know what, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
And like I said,
yeah,
Age of Sigmar tried new things, and I applaud them for it, and I love the idea of that reductionist rule set, and there are things that they did well. You know, the easier stat line, the streamlined rules, the fact that in two pages they go through an entire game turn, and they actually are able to cover every single situation in two pages is incredible, and it's worthy of being applauded. Like I said, for me it was just the one because 50% of their published rules are just the worst amount of horse shit, and it's not fun.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, this, like, what is a hobby if not a waste of time and money? And if I'm not enjoying myself because the aesthetic isn't capturing me the same way that something like Wild West Exodus is, or Malifaux, or Infinity, like, there's just so many...
The game's not fun.
Yeah, there are so many excellent aesthetics that you can't even say that Games Workshop makes the best models in the world anymore, because they don't. And the game's not fun. And fundamentally, like, it just... The game is not fun. And so it's just like, no matter what they did well, the game is not fun, and it is designed to be a game. What's the point?
All right, so thanks everyone who voted on the weekly listener poll. You can find those at jadedgamercast.com. We will have another question for you at the end of the show, of course, if we remember. All right, so let's get on to the main topic of today's show, which is Models of the Week. We will be talking about models that have been part of the weekly Fixed Tabletop Review out of the box. So we've done this before. You guys can follow along if you want to. We will post the link to the page that we are looking at. And mostly what we do this for is a bit of a palate cleanser. After particularly heavy episodes like Age of Sigmar, it is kind of nice to step back and just talk about some other shit.
Right.
We talked about, like, well, should we go back and start reviewing each data sheet? And it was like, no, I don't think anybody's going to care.
Yeah, you know, and that's fundamental. But, like, I don't think anyone's going to care, and I don't think we're going
to
care.
Only if we were creating a new segment called How to Break the Game with, and then Data Sheet Lizard Men, Seraphon, Data Sheet Ogres, you know what I mean? Like, and it would just be a breakdown of how you could break the game as much as possible with that one particular data sheet. But
totally.
Just fucking scroll. I don't give a shit. They're fucking PDFs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to dive right into this thing. We're going to start talking about some models. Right at the top of the page, we've got Otherworld Miniatures. They've released their new skirmish game and faction starters. So the top picture here, which appears to be some sort of Eyes Wide Shut cultists, and what is left of their sex slaves, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you absolutely nailed
it. Did I nail it?
Yeah, I was just like, you know, I'm like, I was trying to see if I could outwit you on that, but I was just like, nope. Nope, I can't.
You can't beat Eyes Wide Shut, can you?
That is absolutely where we are going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, looking at these models, looking at these miniatures, both this one and the next one, I think they're incredibly okay. They do really remind me of the kind of stuff that Uncle Mike is doing with his Strange Aeons, where you have fairly straightforward poses. I would be surprised if any of these miniatures are multi-piece. They do look like single sculpts.
They all appear to be single sculpts.
So, I mean, like I said, nothing really wrong, nothing bad about them, but nothing really stands out about them either.
Yeah. And, I mean, anytime we talk about models, you guys can always just come back and be like, if you could do better. No. Listen, these are incredibly simple models, and these are the types of models that you would expect to see in a game 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago even. They are exceptionally simple, and basically what you have is robes and heads that are really cartoonish looking and really goofy looking, and then you have elves with fucking massive weird looking ears, weird helmets, and just the weirdest faces you've ever seen, and the weirdest tits you've ever seen on a spider woman. Not to mention the fact that, like,
the arms... I didn't even notice the tits on the spider woman. And now I just can't unsee it.
But it's like... Even the whip, the one girl has, like, the cat of nine tails whip, and it's so fucking goofy looking.
Erect. It is so erect.
Your eyes will be wide open when that thing penetrates. But what these are very, very simple models that are not going to attract anyone to a new game. In our day and age, we see some gloriously awesome shit from very small companies who have just what amounts to one good artist who kind of knows what he's doing. And this is somebody who is not a good artist who doesn't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Could I do better? I'm going to say probably.
Wow.
Just a guess. I'm just going to throw that guess out there.
I can't sculpt worth shit, so I'm not going to say that I can do better. But
I've done some work with green stuff, and every time I've done it, it's come out pretty good. So I feel like I should.
You know what? Listen, I will say this. I could do a better whip.
Yes. God, yes.
I'm going to say that.
I could do better tits, maybe? All right, so we're going to move down to Infinity, and they have got some gloriously cool-looking new models here. So let's talk about Johnny on Top. This is corporate douchebag with suitcase.
Yes, also oddly lizard-faced.
I just thought that was like a cool beard design.
I mean,
I thought that was just, that was the trendy shit.
With that paint job, I'm not sure if if he's a lizard man or he's just like a hipster, okay? I just can't tell the way they painted him. No, again, I mean, Infinity is known for having this really kind of cool, over-the-top sci-fi mm-hmm. aesthetic. I mean, obviously, looking at this outfit, if this was a female, that zipper would be already be down to his belly button. I mean, it's still Infinity. But
I thought the zipper doesn't even look zipped.
It no.
It's like, they just kind of stick together.
Well, you see, it has that Velcro behind it. You know, it's for warmth. So you Velcro it, and then he's like, you know, I don't need to zip it up. This one's a pass. It's not really doing much for me. If you like it, I think you'll really like it. Otherwise, it's just generic.
I think corporate douchebag with briefcase is interesting. That's it. That's all I'll give it. What's he standing on? I don't know. Don't really care because I lose interest pretty fast in miniature like that. And then we have, as you put it, General Sean Connery.
Right? The first thing I thought was just like, holy shit, Sean Connery. Cigar in one hand, looks like could be a grenade in the other. Just
no, I think Sean that's a cane.
It could be a cane, could be a whisk.
Like he's got it up underneath his arm. Like a cane. Like if we could rotate it, we would see it like coming out the back. Yeah, like an ordering baton. Like he waves it and tells people what to do.
Totally. I think this one is very interesting. This one has a lot of character, every bit of it from the pose, the details sculpted on. I mean, can we talk about the studio painters that fucking Infinity hires, because this paint job is award-winning caliber, and this is just
nice. Very, very nice, yeah.
Everything about this one really kind of hits for me, including the two medals on his jacket. Like, everything's working.
There we go. And then down here at the bottom, we've got Bald Viking Bro. The axe and the way that he looks with his gun is he's basically Matthew McConaughey from Reign of Fire.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yes.
Am I right? Yes. I love it just for that.
So you saw this model and you're like, there's a Reign of Fire reference here. This is our episode topic.
Hi, Van Zandt. What you doing, Van Zandt? Like, that's all I can think while looking at this guy.
I do not even blame you for that. Like, when you get the Reign of Fire reference.
Oh, I love it, dude. He's absolutely Van Zandt from Reign of Fire, and that's perfect. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. The axe, the recurve bottom side of the axe is kind of a cool addition. The mm-hmm. big-ass gun, the well-sculpted muscles. I think in general, it's a cool model with a lot of character. I really like it.
Yeah, same.
Now, Hawk War Games brings us new ships for Drop Fleet Commander. These are interesting.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is, I absolutely love the design. I think the aesthetic is super cool. I think that it is unique. It's not a sci-fi design that we have seen for spaceships in either video games or other miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the shape of these ships and the silhouette is incredible. And the first thing that I said to you when I saw it was, dear Lord, I would never want to paint that. Like, it is just so bad. I'm just like, listen, you're either going to just airbrush it, in which case you're glazing over all of the detail on the ends of those tendrils, or you're going to go fucking insane. Like, when I decided for my last paint project at Kingsway, because I didn't want another one, and I was just going to stretch that shit out, when I decided that I was going to individually paint every single skull in the skull tower. Like, listen, each one needs three layers and highlights.
Clearly.
this is, do you want it to look good? He's like, just dry brush it. I'm like, no, Mark, it's about standards. When in reality, I just, because he was talking about giving me like another dozen Fire Warriors to try to do in my last
I remember
week,
that.
And I was like, not going to happen.
So basically, I think both of these ships have a very, very cool aesthetic. However, they're very bland. I wish there was a little bit more dimension outside of just the profile. Because basically what you have is you have this really interesting, kind of cool-looking profile, and then you just have dots and slashes.
Yeah, I mean, there's right? really no weaponry.
Right.
I'd love to see the backside to see what the engines might look like.
Sure.
But you're right, yeah.
I think that's my problem with them, is that you've got this very cool, unique design for a spaceship or a dropship or whatever the fuck this thing is supposed to be.
You know what I have?
My mind goes to spaceship, but apparently it's not, so...
What I would be very interested in seeing is the scale of these ships, because I remember the first time we got our Firestorm Armada stuff, we were surprised. The size and the scale surprised us.
Oh, somebody's phone.
That would be my wife's phone.
God damn it, Terry, that's three shows in a row.
And she's getting shit. Like, my phone, I don't even think it's in the room. So but no, like I said, it's just like, I'm curious to see what the scale is, because they look big. These look like very big ships, just based on the size of the widget in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really kind of desperately want to see some side by sides with something
up and down, side to side,
that will give me a good indication of their true size.
Lean like a cholo. All right, so basically that's my only problem with them, is I feel like you kind of wasted the good idea by making them so simple. I think that they can be painted so they look fucking baller supreme, but generally what I see right here, I kind of go, yeah, okay, fine, that's cool. And that's as far as I'm willing to let it go, just because I feel like it's missing the level of detail I would need to really be like, man, these things are amazing. Like, you really took this thing to the furthest it could go, as opposed to just, hey, we came up with an idea, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Mantic Games presents Abyssal Fiend for War of Kings. So the Abyssal Fiend, hanging around with some fiends, is basically what you would expect a cartoonish bloodthirster to look like.
Look, this is legally distinct from a bloodthirster, Lang. Okay, can we just talk about how this is as close as you can get without getting sued?
Well,
and that's literally... But that has been Mantic's MO. I mean... Yeah. God bless them for giving away their Kings of War rules when Age of Sigmar launched, and literally designing rules for every fantasy army. I think that Mantic, who has always been positioning themselves as the use our shit for your Warhammer games studio, is just really kind of running with the whole, hey, jaded fantasy gamers, join us.
Now, the not a bloodthirster, Cardinal Sin... Cardinal Sin number 7? Modeled fire. Hate it. Can't do
modeled
it.
Fighter, please, I don't. Hate.
Just
the
stop.
Head is probably the stupidest head I've ever seen on a miniature life.
No, this is the cartoon version of it. Like, if there was a 40K cartoon that would be on Saturday mornings for kids, this is what the bloodthirster would look like. That's why I like it. However, the two little demony fiend dudes, at the bottom right, although modeled fire is on them, I generally like the way those ones look. I think they kind of got a cool profile. They got the little, devil tails, which I think is kind of fun. But again, they are Saturday morning. Right. They're Saturday morning cartoon versions of demons, which I think is, that's hilarious. But I don't think anyone's going to be jumping on this one.
No.
As well with Mantic Games. We've got the Asterians get a troop trans. Oh yeah, okay. And the Asterians get a troop transport. This is just some artwork, concept art of a troop transport. Kind of cool. Looks like you'd be able to swap some turrets around. I think it's interesting, but anything from concept art means nothing until we actually see the models. So I.
Yep. There's only one studio that I've ever seen be able to turn their concept art into models that are literally the exact same aesthetic. So when Games Workshop can't, we're like, oh my god, look how incredible that artwork is, and then you get the actual model and you're like, eh.
Mm-hmm. And then Imperial Assault returns to Hoth. Woo!
Moving on.
That's basically it.
Listen, I love the Wampa, I'm not gonna lie, but otherwise, who cares?
Yes. If I could get my hands on just Wampas, I would be happy. But I mean, that's just been my MO for years. Hashtag just wampas. All right, so.
Listen, the different, like, for those of you not in the know, a wampa is, in the gay community, a bear who's really into Star Wars. That's all it is. It's just a big, hairy guy. Really likes leather.
Yeah, that's the one. If he's got one arm, all the better. So, that brings us to Anvil Industries. We talked about Anvil Industries when Maddie and I were doing the last one of these, specifically because they do female armored characters very, very well, in the sense that the female armored characters are not big-titted, bouncy, bullshit-type things. They're just wearing armor.
Fucking incredible.
Yeah. So the girl at the bottom left was one that we had talked about before. However, the what appears to be robotic woman at the front, I don't know if that's hair or wires.
I was going to say, it could be hair with a mm-hmm. helmet, kind of the wire, like a metal frame going over the top. They could be wires. So I'm not sure whether this is just an androgynous android or it's a female behind all that armor. But
everything I've seen of them so far has been female. So I'm assuming that this is kind of going that same direction. However, this model is fucking amazing.
I love it. Honestly, I know nothing about the game. I have no idea what Anvil Industries makes, but looking at this, it makes me want to go and see what they do and look into this game, because I love the model so much. And even if I don't end up going for the game, I can see myself buying this model just to paint, mm-hmm. because it is incredible.
It appears to be Natalia Frederiki and her Protoss battle drone. So the Protoss battle drone is what we are looking at. And then this Missy lady, I'll send you another picture here of the lady, mm-hmm. Which I think is actually a really cool sculpt for just a chicken address. Looks pretty rad. But it is a battle drone. I'm assuming it is supposed to be primarily a female-type sculpt.
Super cool. No, like I said, I absolutely love the fact that you are getting great women models that are not slutty as shit. For God's sakes, Infinity, take note. Mm. Women wear clothing.
But this battle drone, I think, is absolutely fucking bananas cool. I love the war rig that it has on the back with the guns and all that. Like, that's it. That's fucking great. I think that's just super, super cool. Then just more Planetfall stuff, which we all well know and like. So Weird Miniatures has announced a new game system called The Other Side, which we don't have models for.
So yeah.
All we have is kind of a snapshot here.
That snapshot concept art of guns and demons has me intrigued if it keeps Malifaux's card system, which I assume it would, being Weird's quote-unquote thing, like we talked mm-hmm. about exploding dice for Spartan. I'd be surprised to see them ditch out on something that is uniquely their own. Mm-hmm. I would be very interested in seeing this game.
Very much so. All right, so Macrocosm announced one of their new races, which appears to be Grem, which is just good. It's just militant goblins.
Dude, I wasn't hand-drawn. Sold until I saw the fucking sunglasses on the concept art, and I was just like, I need to see more of these models.
Have you ever felt that the hole in your life could only be filled by Goblin Catachan?
If so, please guess what? Consult a homunculus.
Guess what? Macrocosm's got you, boo. Laser cut card shows us some boxes, which is pretty rad. And then we move our way down to Antenocytus Workshop.
There is a cream for Antenocytus.
Antenocytus Workshop has got some new pictures of the Azure Dragon dropship.
Have hope.
This is a weird dropship, what we see for the concept, because this is what is clearly done in like a really, really light plastic. I don't know if they're just doing that specifically for testing to kind of see, hey, does this scale look good in general? But yeah, really strange kind of to see the models like that. And it also makes it really, really hard to see what the hell this thing looks like, because at this point, it doesn't look like it's got a lot of detail. It just kind of half looks like the medical dropship out of Firefly.
Yes.
From Ariel.
Yeah.
Outlaw Miniatures. We got some more pictures of some Gen Con releases. Oh, we've got Lady Pope.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lady Pope is for one of the new Kickstarter factions.
Lady Pope.
Yeah, Amazon Lady Pope. She was in the painting cabinet at Adepticon. I do mm-hmm. recall seeing her. So hooray. But for me, the picture underneath that, the one next to, I think it was Geronimo the bear, but that cool as fuck shaman who is bursting into flames with the spirit demon behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Good lord, that model is cool. Just absolutely cool as fuck.
Like, it's a really awesome concept, and I love that what you get from the guy, the shaman at the bottom, that is very, very much a well kind of sculpted model for the most part, is kind of going up into what appears to be a water elemental.
Yeah.
And the water elemental is much simpler, kind of big, just very interesting looking. I think they look super fucking cool.
Oh,
I absolutely love that model.
Because what I love about that model in particular is you have a lot of sculpts and a lot of details on the witch doctor, or the shaman, or whatever it is that's in there, and it looks like it is being just embroiled within it. And I love how the elemental or whatever it is that he is summoning is indistinct, because you have everything that you need to see. You've got these big giant talons, you've got a screaming face, there's flames, there's fire, there's smoke. Like, it just, everything on there is incredible. It gives you everything you need.
What's cool about that is, paint it fire, it's fire. Paint it water, it's water. Paint it air, it's air. Right? Like, it's that non-distinct that it could totally work for both. Now, at this point, Nathan, I'm sure you're thinking to yourself, Lang, I did not have a hole in my soul shaped like Goblin Catachans. I had a hole in my soul shaped like halfling musketeers riding ponies.
You know, how did you know? Was it our heart to heart last night?
These are terrible, but these, I think they're kind of supposed to be terrible.
Goofiest looking.
It looks
so
fucking
bad.
Listen,
no one at any point in their life who was not fucking drunk off their ass was just like, I need halfling musketeers riding ponies.
Specifically,
nobody has ever thought that.
And those ponies need to look angry as fuck.
Oh my god, you're right. It's like the ponies were sculpted by people that have never seen ponies before.
Hey, and just when you thought we were done, we get some more bizarre shit from beyond the gates of Antares. Now, I will say, the picture up top, the Freeborn Command Squad, Lady Freeborn, kind of an interesting design. I think the cape plus the skirt cape is a little bit much, and again, much like a lot of their sculpts, the proportions are really strange.
Yeah, you know, I find that the same thing that you said about the outlaw stuff at the top applies to Beyond the Gates of Antares, 100%. And that is, it is 2015, why do all of your models look like you started with a bar of soap and whittled down?
Yeah.
Like, all of them. They just look chunky. The proportions are weird. Like,
the poses are strange.
Yeah, the poses are strange. Like, it's almost as if the sculptors that they have working on this project that are bringing to life emo Rick Priestley's fucking vision of a new game. And again, like, the worst part is the rules could be incredible. The rules, like, this could literally be the best miniature game system in the world. But I have these chunky green army men's quality models, and I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen anything for Beyond the Gates of Antares that looks like it has the fine detail. And again, we can just scroll right back up to Outlaw with their Wild West Exodus and look at fucking Lady Pope and talk about how cutting edge, easily Games Workshop caliber that sculpt is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can scroll back down to Beyond the Gates of Antares and just be like, man, I remember when Rogue Trader era had models like this. And maybe that's what Rick's going for. He's like, I wrote Rogue Trader, assholes. That was my game. I loved that aesthetic. Well, and so that's what he wants.
Here's the thing, right? Like, as I look at the Freeborn Command Squad model with Lady Pope in the middle, Blue Pope Lady, I go from the top and I think, okay, that crown's a little interesting. The face is that kind of porcelain doll face. All right, I kind of see what they're going for here. She's got a gun, fine. Cape, extra length waist cape, more weird. She's doing something with her fingers. And then I get to the legs, and it's just like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, one leg, the knee is, like, very distinct and noticeable. The other leg...
Dude, listen,
now, hold
that
on.
Right leg is broken.
No.
Okay, let's just talk about how that needs to be set.
Nathan, this is what this reminds me of. I have a daughter. She has cerebral palsy. Her right leg is atrophied like crazy. That's what it reminds me of.
So, all right.
Awkward.
Yeah, I was going to say, we definitely went into awkward territory.
World War II war games, Rules has bolt actions, giving us some more stuff. Moving on. More Napoleonic figures from Black Powder. Bam! And that brings us to Minimax with the Gothic KV-2.
You know, I it looks goofy as fuck. The proportions are weird. But I can't say it's any worse than, like, a Skulldozer.
Well, here's my thing about this. It's fine. But it's not... What it's trying to accomplish, it fails spectacularly at. Which is this kind of gothic, church-esque design with these kind of interesting sponson and what is clearly a battle cannon. Mm-hmm. And you kind of look at it and you're like, well, I guess for the most part it's okay. But, like, it's very clear that here's what we were trying to do. Here's the thing we were trying to do with this. And it just doesn't work for me.
The
funny thing is they give you, like, all three sides. And it's just like, there's basically nothing here because both sides look exactly the same. So
for me, I feel like I'm looking at it and it's just like, you know, when you see someone and it's just like there's just something off about their face and you just kind of find yourself staring at them while your brain tries to discover what it is that you find just so completely and utterly unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing with this tank. Is I'm looking at it and I'm just like, it's a tank. It's got tracks. It's the right shape. It's got a gun on the top that swivels. Like, my brain is just like, it is a tank, but there's just something wrong about it. And that's all that I'm seeing with it. I just cannot find anything else, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, man. I'm right there with you. All right, so then we've got trucks, and then we've got Albino Raven Miniatures have some new heavy robot sculpts that you can take a look at here. I think generally these are kind of interesting. I recognize the aesthetic. It's kind of a cross between Mech Warrior, and it's kind of got that sci-fi, like, open dome face type looking thing. So I think I understand where they're going with it. However,
if Heavy Gear models looked this good, I'd play Heavy Gear.
Right. And then we've got kind of the cultists with the heavy stubbers underneath to give you some scale.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I think, yeah, you got some cool stuff here. I think maybe these cool designs. So I was kind of interested, and I went and I took a look at their website. And because I was interested, like, oh, is this a game? Is this something else? Like, what's going on with this thing? Albino Raven Miniatures is a small team devoted to create awesome miniatures. Our aim is to produce high-quality, interesting-looking figures for hobbyist painters and games. We are ourselves hobbyists, and we want to create models that we would like to buy and paint. We currently have 15 miniatures in our line, but at least two new models will be released each month. So this is just a company making some interesting models. You like painting shit? All right, here's some shit you can paint. The concept art for these guys is actually really interesting and cool as well. So it's kind of like it's like a weird gothic Exo Squad is what it reminds me of. But I like it. I think it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so hey, there's dem models. Those models are there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's funny because, boy, there's some stuff that just when it falls, boy, does it ever fall flat. But like, I have less of a problem with the halflings riding ponies that are musketeers than I do with, like, Gates of Antares shit.
Wow, that is incredible, because...
Same.
I'm
putting that out there.
What is so funny to me is I feel like there are some of these models that we're just like, yeah, it's okay, that 5 years ago we'd have been blown away with.
Sure.
And I think that this is one of those things that I feel like quality of sculpts to miniature wargamers are like graphics conversations to video gamers.
Sure.
They are getting better and better and better, and there is really no excuse to put out shittier graphics. And I think that's what we're seeing now, and why there are some of these ranges,
yeah,
like Beyond the Gates of Antares, like the Outlaw miniature stuff, where it's just like, you know... Or the other world. I feel Outlaws, Wild West, the other world stuff. But as I said, it's just like, I feel like we've just gotten to the point where it's just like, I expect better. And blame Games Workshop, blame everyone for trying to catch Games Workshop. But like I said, you look at the Anvil industry, you look at the, you know, the Wild West Exodus stuff.
Yeah, Infinity
and
stuff.
And it's just like, there is so much potential out there that you do not have to be a multi-million-dollar company to make fabulous miniatures. So it's almost inexcusable in this day and age to be getting clumsy, clunky, blocky sculpts.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, and I wouldn't even compare it to video games because I think that medium is so different. You can look at video games and graphics with games like Papers, Please, where it's all 8-bit, but the game is fucking amazing because of the way that it's delivered to you and the way that the game is played and the story is so fucking fun that you're totally fine with 8-bit, right? So I think that metaphor, where I would turn that is toward just art in general, right? If you go looking at artists and you're talking to artists and you say, okay, I want to commission some artwork, right? I've got this idea. I'm going to tell you what it is and I want to commission this artwork. You're going to go look at their portfolio. You're going to go look at what they have. And if you don't like what they have, you don't want anything to do with them. You don't even want to pay them for anything because you don't like what they do. When it comes to miniatures, it's the same thing. It all boils down to talent. If you don't have a talent for it, God, don't do it. Nobody wants to see the picture you drew of DePony. Nobody. Nobody's interested. You're either good or you're not. And if you're good, people will want to see it. If you're not, I'm not going to sit there and be like, well, you know, it's probably just some guy in his basement doing some stuff. No, because we just talked about that last one there, Albino Raven, where it's just like, we're a team of like 3 people. We all just kind of make some models, and these are the models we make. And it's like, clearly somebody there has some fucking talent. So it doesn't matter. So if you don't have talent, maybe you should hire some talent.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Hey, there you go. That's the models. That's what we're talking about there. We'll have the link posted so you guys can follow along as well. Hey, Nathan, something shiny. And when I say shiny, I mean fucking shit.
I know exactly what we're talking about now. The commercial flop that was Fanfortastic?
Fanfortastic. It's not Fanfortastic. It's Fanfortastic. Right.
Fanfortastic. Let's do it.
Fanfortastic is the worst superhero movie to feature Marvel characters that has come out in the last 15 years.
Okay, now I know that you're saying Marvel. Real talk me.
Yeah.
Fanfortastic versus Batman and Robin.
Better.
Joel Schumacher's.
Batman and Robin is better.
Oh, Batman and Robin is better. Whoa.
Listen, Batman and Robin was a cartoon.
Mr. Freeze ice puns.
Exactly, right? Like, all the way. In Batman and Robin, it was funny. You could make a fucking riff tracks for it, right? Like, if they were to do a riff tracks of Fanfortastic, it would just be them complaining about how dull the movie is and making jokes about how dull all the characters are, right? Like,
so
that
like
would be the joke.
Riff tracks of Ultramarine the movie.
Basically, yes. So basically, what it comes down to is that this movie has a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes, or at least it did last time I looked, and that is the most well-deserved 9%. It is less than the original Roger Gorman Fantastic Four. So, pick a superhero movie. I would be hard-pressed to have somebody find a commercially released superhero movie that is fucking worse than this movie. Green Lantern is better than Fanfortastic. X-Men Origins Wolverine is better than Fanfortastic.
You can't take these things back, Lang. It's
Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, Daredevil, and Elektra, all better than Fanfortastic.
Jesus. And these are all turds that I avoided like
a
plague.
Dude, you have, like, there were moments when we were in the theater, and I was sitting there with Matt, and they would be saying things up on screen, and we would both just turn and look at each other at the same time, so embarrassed about how bad it was. Like, when we were watching Jupiter Ascending, it was a fucking madhouse. The whole movie's just bananas. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I know. I own it because my wife wanted to see it a lot, so we watched it in Blu-ray 3D, and I was just, it made me feel confused.
It's the weirdest, most bizarre, like, backwards movie in the world. And it's stupid, but it is so much better than Fanfortastic. It is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And it's one of those things where every single aspect of that movie, from like the editing, is so bad. Like the actress who plays Susan Storm, when they first started filming, she had just finished filming another movie where she had to cut her hair short. So she had short hair and she had to wear a wig. So what had happened is basically the director, John Trank, went on like a coke binge and like disappeared for 4 or 5 months. And so they had to like come back and start filming again later. But at that point, her hair was kind of grown out, so she didn't wear the wig. So you would think, okay, like her hair is going to be pretty similar to the wig. Well, when she's got shorter hair, and she's got it kind of tied back, and it's clearly her hair because she's got roots and it's kind of this dirty blonde and she's very pretty. No. when she's wearing the wig, it is like the blondest blonde white stripper wig you've ever seen in your entire life. And they literally will go between scenes from stripper wig to normal hair to stripper wig to normal hair. And the dude who plays Reed Richards at one point has this like really gross kind of like 15-year-old scraggly beard because he ran away to Panama for a year for no reason. Okay. And the next scene, he sits down, clean shaven, perfectly clean. I was like, haha, when did he have time to shave? Then they cut back to him, he's got the beard again. It's Jeez. Just like, even the editing is so goddamn bad. Well, the story makes no sense.
Usually when you have a lot of bad editing errors like that, that's the studio realizing that the movie is fucking shit. Every moment of the movie is shit.
Don't spend money on that.
Everything that we have is shit. We're not going to reshoot. We're already over budget. We are just going to try to get the editors to make something cohesive out of it. But when you have a director that didn't even give a shit enough to have his actors looking the same, it makes all of that harsh editing that they're doing to try to save a plot and get the money back all the more obvious.
Well, there was this other weird thing that happens with the movie where the writing is so bad that they would cut jokes into the dialogue, right? Because they're trying to keep it light and fun, even though the entire movie is this dull, mopey, depressive, moral dilemma-ish style tween superhero genius movie. Because all these kids are supposed to be geniuses, so on and so forth. But they would have these moments where they were jokes, and they would hit the joke, and then there would be a pause, and then the scene would change. And by the time the scene changed, you were like, oh, shit, that was supposed to be a joke. Like, nobody in the theater was laughing. It was almost like everyone in the theater suddenly, at the same time when the scene changed, was just like, oh, shit, we were supposed to laugh. Like, there was this weird silence where it felt like everybody had that same reaction. And I'll give you one of the jokes. So Franklin Storm, full of wisdom, black father.
You're right. Okay.
Is basically talking to his son, Johnny Storm, who just crashed his Toyota MR2, that like, you can't get that your car back. And he's like, that's my car. I love my car. I don't want to do your stuff. I want to do my stuff.
Okay.
And he says, well, if you want that car back, cause it's my car, my money, you need to come work for me on this project. He's like, you're a genius. You just have to apply yourself. And he's like, I'm not working for you. You better just give me my car back. And he's like, if you want your car back, you better come work for me. And then Johnny Storm says, I ain't wearing no lab coat. And then the scene changes. And I turned to Matt and I was like, well, that was a joke, wasn't it? We were supposed to find that funny. That shit is all over the movie. Where like, they'll make jokes and you're just like, oh shit, this is it. They're trying to make another joke. Like, this is so bad. It's like watching bad stand-up and the guy on stage is just crashing and burning and he's like desperately trying to like build up to the A+ material and none of it's fucking any good.
Right.
There's another thing that happens in this movie.
Oh, by the way, spoilers.
I will spoil it. I'm not even going to warn it. I'm hoping people don't go see this movie. So basically...
It's okay, they didn't. It's not Ziegly bad.
Ben Grimm, who basically... The way they've written him into this story... Like, Ben Grimm in the comic books is an astronaut. So he's not a genius, but he's smart. He's a smart guy. He's gone to school. He became an astronaut. He knows shit about flying space shuttles and shit. So that's why he's there. That's why it makes sense. In this one, Ben Grimm is what appears to be a mildly retarded best friend of Reed Richards who works in a junkyard. And his trademark action superhero catchphrase, it's clobbering time, is actually a product of domestic abuse. Because his older brother would beat the shit out of him for doing virtually nothing in the junkyard and say, it's clobbering time. And then his mom would have to come in and like stop him from pummeling his little brother.
Oh my God.
That's not to mention that the thing's dick fell off. So if you didn't feel bad enough about this guy turning into a giant, hideous rock monster, guess what? His dick fell off too, and nobody seems to notice or comment about it to the point where he just walks around naked the whole movie. And when I say naked, I mean they did take the time to CG animate his shapely orange rock butt cheeks grinding together during various scenes while he's walking and or running.
Fuck.
I would never in a million years...
Did Team Ninja make this movie? Like, never, makers of the Dead or Alive dude, fighting franchise who developed their own boob jiggle legend?
I never in a million years thought I would ever say, I prefer Michael Chiklis in an orange foam costume. I haven't even started talking about Dr. Doom yet. So, Dr. Doom. He's like kind of the villain of the movie near the end. The other villain of the movie is the corporate a-hole guy who's always giving him shit for stuff and saying like, oh, we're going to shut the program down and oh, you kids are blah, 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 blah. So basically this guy, who's a great actor, after about an hour into the movie, you just realize that actually he's been talking sense this whole time. Like, they build the machine, they test it, it works, and the kids are like, sweet, we're going to go to this other dimension alien planet. And he's like, no, we're calling NASA. You're fucking kids. You're scientists. You're not explorers. Like, we're not putting 15-year-old kids into this goddamn... we're not putting these kids into this thing. We're going to send trained individuals. And they're like, no, you promised us we would go. And he's like, no, really, you're not going. And anyways, like, the story progresses, and they've got what it comes down to is they've got this multi-billion dollar dimensional matter transporter that they've built. It's the breakthrough technology of the age. It's being funded by a corporation, and they've treated it like a mattress store. Like, when they're done with it, they just turn the lights off and leave the engine running because the kids, pissed off that they can't go through, hijack it by walking into the room, hanging out in the room while chit-chatting half drunk, and then eventually self-transported themselves to the alien planet.
Well, okay.
At which point, Sue Storm, who's not with them, is the only person in the entire facility to get a notification that says, somebody's fucking using the dimensional matter transporter.
Well, listen, dude, you know, you always turn notifications off on your dimensional matter transporter. Like, the last thing you want to do is just have it, like, pinging all day, every day.
It's more annoying than Chrome. No, for real. Like, this movie is fucking terrible. Dr. Doom is a hacker / blogger.
Mm-hmm.
He's a kid. He's not from Latveria. Like, everything about it is fucking, like, every choice they make is so bizarre and terrible. And just unfun. And it's fun to make fun of this movie because it was so bad, but it was the most boring movie I've sat through in a long time. And I sat through, like, Syriana.
Yeah. I was going to say, for me, I think the most boring movie that I sat through in the theater has to be King Kong.
Whoa.
With a close second being Spider-Man 3. Like, I remember being at a midnight showing of Spider-Man 3, sitting there thinking, good Lord, I have to work in the... Like, I am opening the Games Workshop store tomorrow. Why am I sitting here instead of just going home and, like, getting more
terrible
sleep?
Life choices?
Like, would you regret going to the movie because of life, like, because of your life tomorrow? Like, before that movie started, you're like, woo, midnight screening, don't care. Yeah, I'll get a few hours of sleep. It'll be great. And then when you're there, you're just like, bed was such a better choice than this.
Well, I can tell you this. On my side of the theater, because I was sitting on the aisle, basically, three people walked out halfway through the movie. Because there is basically one action sequence the entire movie.
Hmm.
The whole rest of the movie is just them talking and montages of them doing sciences. And that's basically it. Like I said, Ben Grimm appears to be mildly retarded. They have him in scenes and he's always just staring at people, kind of eyes narrowed, staring at people chewing gum. And they... It's not just like this is happening in the background. Like, they cut to him doing this, where he's the only person on screen. And you keep thinking he's going to have some, like, you know, observation or some insight where he's just going to be like, oh, we thought this guy was an idiot. He's actually not. No, that never happens. He's an idiot. Like, he's mildly, like, he's fucking retarded. When Reed Richards calls him in the middle of the night and says, come into the other dimension with me, he's like, all right, whatever. And then Reed Richards just walks him in the front door, and then they go to the other dimension through the matter transporter.
Which, again, still not sending out notifications.
It's just so fucking bad. Like, every scene in that movie I could talk about and just be like, this is so fucking stupid. It's a 90 plus minute origin story with one action scene, and the one action scene makes no goddamn sense. Because you can tell that they tried to, like, amp up Dr. Doom to make him seem more like more of a badass threat, because there's this like 2 minute segment of the movie where suddenly it turns into like sci-fi horror, where it's like a combination of Scanners and Akira. Cause he's like walking through the hallway of this nondescript fucking military base and like blowing people's heads up with telekinesis. And then he can stop bullets with his mind and energy fields. And he has some sort of magnetism slash telekinesis power that he uses on top of it. And then when they get to the dimension, the Fantastic Four fight him, we find out that his weakness is being punched by Reed Richards. And then the thing goes, he's more powerful than any of us. We can't beat him. And Reed Richards says, and this is verbatim, yeah, you're right. He is stronger than we are. But not if we work together. And they all nod. And then they basically find out that punching him at the same time is better than punching him separately. And at no point does Dr. Doom blow their heads up with his telekinesis. He just decides that he's going to throw rocks at them.
Crystal meth, not even once.
Dude,
not even once. That's all there is to it.
It's the dumbest movie I've ever seen. Oh my god, it's so bad. Well, weekly listener poll time. Ooh, goddamn. We talked about models, and we talk about movies, and we talk about all these different games and stuff like that. We've been talking about Age of Sigmar, so what the hell are we going to do this weekly listener poll about? That wasn't a lead-up. That was me brainstorming in a way that I was hoping by the time I got to the end of that sentence, I'd have some profound... It would just come to me, and I'd be like, here's the question.
Well, I was going to say, we've already done Dryads. Are they worth it? Can't we just keep, like, whenever we literally have nothing, we'll just start using, like demonettes. Are they worth it?
No. That's just another reason for me to use that picture again, and I refuse.
But you yourself said every time you get a chance.
I know, but I don't want to shoehorn. I want it to be natural.
Okay.
What it really comes down to is... you had kind of brought it up, so I'll bring it up here. What do you look for from a game release? This feeds into Age of Sigmar. It feeds into Firestorm, Planetfall. We've got new games coming out. We talked about a couple of ones and outside of the box where it's like, hey, here's this new game coming out. What do you guys look for in a release of a new game? Is it going to be like Beyond the Gates of Antares, where they just trickle shit out to us? Is it going to be like Planetfall, where they're just like, hey, here's a starter box, and boom, within the first month, here's all the first six races, right? Or is it something more along the lines of what we see from a lot of smaller game companies, which is, hey, here's our concept shit. Get in on it. You know, buy a couple of models, see what you like. I guess, how am I even going to phrase that for like questions, for options? I think basically what I'm looking for is, because I think everyone's just going to say full release. Just give me a full release. Put all six races out and or this, that, and the other. Like, nobody's going to be like, trickle the miniatures out to me so I don't know what I'm buying and or what it, whether it's good or not.
Well, I don't know, though, because, I mean, like, I love the way Spartan is doing Planetfall, and I love the fact that they're just like, listen, when we do releases, it's going to be this aspect of what you can take and then one for everybody. So no matter what you're playing, everyone's getting that same sort of drip faucet approach. I think Games Workshop style of, we're going to spend the next 6 weeks releasing everything for this one full army, and then the next 6 weeks gets a little unfair when you're the guy that's the Dark Eldar player waiting 14 years for a new codex. Like, well, it just... Or that poor sisters player who's now looking longingly at only a 14-year wait. But, you know, like I said, it's just... They all have their goods and their bad, like their upsides and their downsides. But, I mean, yeah. I think it's interesting. Should be a good conversation anyway.
Or a boring conversation anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
And then I shoot the console and I say, Luke, you're going to have company. And then I say, that has been Jada GamerCast for this week. My name is Lion.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.